is back that we haven't seen, been seeing for a while. The Nortons are back, and Kathy's back. Lori and Delbert are back, and I don't know who all else is back, but welcome back. So glad to have you all back again. Why don't we open with a word of prayer, and then we'll get started again in the book of Daniel. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, that you've given us this book. And Lord, we can see your plan, Lord, for the future, for the past and for the future. And Lord, we're thankful we can study your word. Lord, help us to understand the things that we can learn from the book. Help us, Lord, to make application. And Lord, as we look at this book, we can see that your word is alive, it's real, and it speaks the truth. And Lord, we just help us, Lord, to understand that and to apply it in our thinking. Just open our hearts now for the message you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're in Daniel chapter 2. So if everybody would be toward the end of the chapter, and if people would turn to that. I've got a quote here that I've seen in my studies, and I thought I'd share that with you. It's a quote from Martin Luther. Martin Luther once said, "Lord Jesus, you are my righteousness. I am your sin. You have taken upon yourself what is mine and given me what is yours. You have become what you were not so that I might become what I was not." And I like that. I thought that pretty well sums it up. He became everything from us, and we had nothing to give and everything to gain. And that's basically what that was saying. Okay, to kind of bring some up to speed that have not been here, Daniel has now come before King Nebuchadnezzar, and he said, and he gives he gives the dream and the interpretation of the dream. Now, right now, and we're just going to kind of backtrack here a little bit, but Daniel is telling Nebuchadnezzar, "Nebuchadnezzar, in your dream, you saw this big image, tall image, and it had a head of gold. The chest, the breast and the arms were of silver. The belly and the legs, or the thighs, I should say, were of bronze, and your legs were of iron, and in your feet and toes were a mixture of iron and clay. And then in your dream you seen this stone cut without hands that came and it smashed at the feet of this image. And the image crumbled and decayed, it fell down, and in his dream this stone basically crushed everything, the entire image." Excuse me, I've been fighting this stuff. Again, it smashed the image, and it wind up grinding the whole thing, the brass, the silver, the gold, everything up into powder, and it turned it into like chaff, and the wind blew it away, and there's no trace of it could be found. Nebuchadnezzar, that is your dream. And Nebuchadnezzar was blown away. I mean, and then he's going to give the interpretation. Okay, now what does this mean? And that's kind of where we are at this particular point. And as we talked about in the last few lessons, and in fact, God, in verse 38 at the end of it, God tells Daniel to tell Nebuchadnezzar, we might say, Daniel, it says, "Thou art this head of gold." In other words, Nebuchadnezzar, you're this head of the gold. You're the king. And he talks about how God has given you this position. He's given you, actually, he is ruling over the then known world. Anyway, Nebuchadnezzar, you're in charge of everything. You are the king. And as we go through the interpretation here, God is talking about kings and kingdoms. They always go together. A king has a kingdom, and a kingdom has a king. And there's times of the word interchanges back and forth, the king, the kingdom. But in other words, Daniel is saying, Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head of the gold. You are the first king. Your kingdom is the very first one. And so, and I'm glad that God, and I've said this before, I'm glad that God told us that he is referring to kingdoms as we go down this image. So first of all, we have the head of gold, which represents Nebuchadnezzar, which represents the Babylonian kingdom. It was the Babylonians, and that is a time when the times, Jesus speaks about the times of the Gentiles in Luke 21:24, and that's going to rule until the times of the Gentiles come to an end. Okay? So it's Babylon. They took Israel into captivity. God has been working through the children of Israel all this time through history up until this point, but due to their sinfulness, their rebellion, their idolatry, everything about it, God is chastising his chosen people, the Israelites. They are conquered by the Babylonians. That is the first world empire. And when we say world empire, they, in other words, it is a Gentile nation. It is ruling the then known world at that time. Now, they weren't ruling the United States because at that time they hadn't heard of the United States. So, anyway. And then it goes on, and then he moves down. So you got the head of gold, and then, in fact, you just to follow, I'm just recapping here, but you just take a look at verse 39, chapter 2, verse 39, and it says, and then after these shall arise another kingdom. Okay? And so in other words, he is talking about kingdoms. God, this is not some preacher's interpretation. I thought these guys were speculating all along on what all this stuff meant, because I didn't pay any attention to it. I just wanted to get through this book as quick as I could, because I couldn't understand it. But anyway, after these shall arise another kingdom, inferior to thee, and then it says, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. In other words, they're controlling all of the earth, all these different kingdoms. So first of all, you have the head of gold. Then you've got the chest, the breast, and the arms of silver. All right? And they're talking about kingdoms. And history will tell us what these kingdoms are, because that is referring to the Medo-Persian Empire. The Medo-Persian Empire conquered the Babylonians. We're going to learn a lot more about this when we get to Daniel chapter 7. We're in chapter 2 right now, and there's going to be a lot of stuff happening in between here. But then when we get to chapter 7, and this is something, again, that I didn't know, but basically when we get to chapter 7, he uses totally different imagery. You know, it's different symbols and stuff like that, but it's talking about the very same thing. It's a repeat of what's taking place in chapter 2. In fact, in a lot of places, they're referring back and forth, and we're also referring to the book of Revelation, which includes a lot of this stuff. So there is a tremendous amount of stuff in this book. But anyway, so then we come to the Medo-Persian. Well, the arms. There's two arms. You have the Medo-Persian Empire follows. Okay? There's two, Medo and Persia. Were kind of they had joined a partnership. It was two separate companies, but they were kind of a partnership. And they worked together, and they're going to work together all the way through the Medo-Persian Empire until that gets conquered. And then we move down the statue. We come down to the brass or bronze. The words are used interchangeably a lot between versions. King James uses brass, others use bronze. Anyway, and a lot of the commentators that I study on this thing, they call it bronze. But anyway, we move down to the bronze, which is the belly and the thighs. All right? That is the Grecian Empire. And mainly, the main gun behind that was Alexander the Great. And we've all been, I'm not a history buff, so I think we've all been forced in school to study about Alexander the Great, you know. Anyway. Alexander the Great was a great conqueror. And we talked last time in verse 39 up there, it talks about, and after these shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. The literal translation, this is written in the Aramaic, the literal translation means lower down, to move lower down. lower down the statue. Now, at first I thought it meant that the kingdom was inferior. And that's kind of what it sounds like if you just read this for what it says. But they were not inferior at all, and history proves that. They were, each empire was stronger and mightier and greater. They had more territory. They conquered more. And in fact, Charlotte brought a book last Sunday for me to take a look at. And it shows the different empires. It's kind of a world map thing all the way through the Bible. And anyway, and you can take a look at the Babylonian Empire, you know, the size they were. And then the Medo-Persian, it was bigger, stronger. Then here comes the Greek Empire under Alexander the Great. And man, he conquered territory like crazy. And then following that is the Roman Empire. And it is by far the greatest and the most powerful of all of the world empires. And so the word inferior actually, it means to move lower down the statue. And that's really what it means, and that's what history proves it to be. And so it is not inferior in strength, it's not inferior in territory conquered, things like that. But God has given a map, a road map, of the history of the Gentile domination of the world until that comes to an end. And we're gonna, and this is all in this dream that God gave to this pagan, idolatrous king. And I often wonder, why did God choose? Well, there's times God uses Gentiles in his plan. So that's all I can say about that. But anyway, okay, so we moved down to the belly and the thighs of brass, bronze. And that is the Grecian Empire. And it starts off as a single unit, the belly. But then, and this is how prophecy works out in this book, then it moves, and the legs are included. Well, it winds up being divided. As you move lower down the stature, it's divided. Okay, Alexander the Great died when he was about 32 years old. He did this tremendous amount of conquering territory, a great, a lot of territory. But he died suddenly. And one of the commentators, look at a historian, apparently he was some kind of a drunken stupor, and he died. I don't know. They really don't know for sure how he died, but he did. Well, when he died, the kingdom then, the Grecian kingdom, was actually divided up among four of his generals. And so it split up four different ways. But two of the generals were very weak, very small, and two were very prominent. I'm probably taking too much time here this morning, but anyway, the Grecian Empire was divided into two main heads, and the two main ones. And then after that, then we move down to the legs of iron. And again, in history, when we're going to see that kingdom, that empire, is the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire, it lasted the longest. It was the strongest. The Roman Empire actually lasted until 1453 A.D. In fact, the Roman Empire, they were the ones that controlled during Jesus' time. And they were, in fact, it was actually the Romans that crucified Jesus, a centurion. It's a Roman centurion. The Romans were in charge. And so then we have the Roman Empire. And now we haven't got down to the feet and the toes yet. But the iron was strong. And iron was supposedly the strongest metal known at that time. Anyway, so that's kind of where we are. We're getting ready to go into the feet and the toes. And in chapter 2, we're just kind of we're skimming an overview of this world history. When we get to chapter 7, we're going to deal into a lot more detail about the where's, the high, the whys, the wherefores, and stuff like that. So that's kind of where we have worked our way up to. And to kind of bring you guys up to speed, I'm not going to go into talking about the feet and the toes yet because we haven't got there yet. So let's go ahead and begin. So let's go to get up to speed here. why don't we back up a little bit? We're basically going to pick it up in verse 41 this morning. But we were maybe verse 40. But let's go ahead and begin with verse 36. And let's go ahead and read through verse 45, I think it is. Yes. Daniel 2, 36 through 45. And who would read those verses for us, please? Kathy, okay.
This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, where the beasts of the field and the birds of heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are the son of glory. But after you shall rise another kingdom, inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of gods, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks to pieces and shatters it. Like iron and crushes, that kingdom will break to pieces and crush all the others. Whereas
okay, thank you, Kathy. Okay, there you've got the whole picture. And so we are, just to pick it up in verse, in fact, I just see a note, something here I'll just kind of read to you. The Babylonian Empire lasted 70 years. And I have found in all of these dates and stuff, between the different authors and stuff, there is a little bit of discrepancy as far as actual dates, but it's normally within a year or two of each other. But anyway, it says the Babylonians' empire lasted about 70 years. The Medo-Persian empire lasted around 200. The Greek empire lasted around 200. And the Roman empire lasted, there was two different sides of the Roman empire, the east side and the west side. And the it lasted 500 years on the west side, and all the way to 1453 A.D. On the east side. And in fact, the history says Constantinople was the capital of one, and Rome was the capital of the other. They had two different capitals. It was, and that is represented by the two legs. So. That's the longest that any empire has ever lasted, was up until 1453. That was the Roman Empire. They were very, very strong, and the strongest of the world empires. It's the strongest world empire the world has ever seen. Okay, now in our day and age, we are not ruled by a single world power, you know. You might say the United States is the most powerful nation on earth, but we're certainly not ruling the entire world. That has not happened since the Roman Empire disintegrated, put it like that. Anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and start at verse 41. So turn to verse 41. And let's start taking a look at this verse by verse. I don't want to spend all of our time reviewing here. So anyway, verse 41. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. All right. So here we've seen the Roman Empire represented by the two legs of iron. But that ended. The Roman Empire ended in 1453 A.D. And so people say, wait a minute, there's got to be more to this prophecy. Okay? The Roman Empire, like I say, passed away in 1453 A.D. There hasn't been any Gentile world kingdom dominating the earth since. So it looks like the prophecy has ended at that particular point, and it has, okay, to a certain extent. But there's more to the prophecy. We haven't got to the feet and the toes yet. And folks, Scripture here does not tell us that there is a tremendous gap of time between the two legs when you get down to the feet and the toes. There's a gap of time. Folks, right now, we are living during this gap of time. So, and there's more to come about all this. We're going to go in a lot more detail, but so right now we're during this pause, hold. The feet and the toes are not iron, but they're iron mixed with potter's clay. And the clay here is a word that is used with baked clay used for tile. It would be very brittle. And so you have the feet and the toes, and it is a mixture of iron and clay. Well, those two don't mix. They don't mix. They don't stick together. And so scholars have debated these verses, and some say these verses all refer to the old Roman Empire. That's one theory. Others say the feet and the toes refer to a future revived Roman Empire in the future over which the Antichrist will rule. So we have two different theories here. Basically, just about everybody agrees the second theory is the correct one, because there's no way that the old Roman Empire, these prophecies were fulfilled in the old Roman Empire. And we'll touch on that here just a bit more in a minute. In Scripture, there are some instances where a prophecy has a near and a far fulfillment, where both interpretations could be true. There are times when there is a long span of time in a prophecy without the prophecy indicating this long span of time. And that's true. We're looking at that right now in Daniel. It seems to be the case here. There appears to be a long span of time between the two legs of iron and the feet and toes. We are living during this time today. We're going to have to study more about this in the future. I guess I got ahead of myself when I was talking. Now, in verse 41, it says the kingdom shall be divided. It is a divided kingdom. The old Roman Empire, anyway, I'll just stop there. It'll be divided. It is a mixture of iron and clay. It says, but there shall be in it the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. Thus we can say that a future latter days Roman Empire will not attain true unity or cohesiveness, but will be like a mixture of iron and clay. And let me just stop here for a minute and say, it looks like there is going to be a revival of the old Roman Empire. And that is going to be in the future. It's going to have the strength of iron, but it's going to be divided. It's got clay and iron mixed. And that is to come in the future, it appears, for good reason, for biblical reason, okay? It will be as strong as iron, but it will be characterized by divisions causing a weakness. That is the clay part. It will be unified by military strength, but be divided by its home and domestic government policies. There's going to be a lot of division. There's strength there, but just a lot of division, a lot of turmoil going on. And I'm just going to go ahead and read verses 42 and 43 to kind of, this all kind of fits together. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Okay, that they're going to mingle with the seed of men. That's key there. But they shall not always cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. They don't mix. They don't stick together. Okay? And the weakness and the vulnerability of the future Roman Empire is that it would be a mixture of strength and weakness. The kingdom is a composite of the firm and the brittle, iron and clay. There will be a weakness. The weakness is not in the legs. That's the old empire, Roman Empire. They were strong. Okay? The weakness is in the feet and the toes, which refers to a future revised Roman Empire. What is the importance of that? Because a weakness appears only in the final future form. We haven't seen that yet. That's coming future. Because there was no weakness, you know, in the old Roman Empire. They were strong once, but in the final form, there's going to be weakness. And what is that weakness? It tells us in verse 43, as I kind of pointed out there, it says, the weakness, the clay, is the seed of men. It talks about the seed of men in the middle of verse 43. It simply refers to human beings, the seed of men, human beings. One commentator says, the problem in the final form of the Roman Empire is going to be that there are too many people involved in the decision-making process. There's going to be 10 nations. There's 10. There's 10 nations in a united confederacy, the Roman Empire. And we see the European common market today. It's in existence today. And it varies as to how many nations there are. They add a few, they subtract a few. There's all kind of turmoil going on through that. We're not there yet. So there's going to be 10 different nations. This is the division part. Because you got 10 different nations trying to make decisions. And you know how it is to get 10 different people together and try to get 10 Baptists together, and you got all kind of confusion. So anyway, solidarity will be lost in the final Roman Empire. It will be mixed. It will be as strong as iron, militarily, okay, but it will be characterized by divisions. That's what this clay and iron mixture is talking about. The Bible is telling us by the 10 toes here in chapter 2, and now again in chapter 7, it is also refers to it. In Daniel chapter 7, it talks about the 10 kings. And it says, and also in Revelation 17, 12, that the final form of the Roman Empire will have a 10-nation confederacy. And while we mention it, let's just turn to Revelation 17, 12. And Revelation 17, 12 is talking about exactly the same thing that we're talking about here. And it's amazing that we have Daniel, who lived 600 years before Christ, and we got John on the Isle of Patmos that was writing this about 90 years A.D., and yet we have the same, we're talking about the same thing. But here's just kind of a verse. I'm just going to throw this in here because we're going to refer a lot to Revelation. And who would read Revelation 17, 12 for us? Delbert?
The two forms which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with beasts.
Okay. And the beast here is talking about the Antichrist. The Antichrist. The 10 nations are going to receive their power from the Antichrist, from the beast. And well, not that, anyway. But in other words, there's going to be in the future, this 10 nations, 10 kings, it's divided. That's what it's talking about here, the iron and the clay. The final form of the empire, of the Roman Empire, will have 10 nations in confederacy. That has never been true of the Roman Empire in the past, never. So those that say that, you know, this, the feet and the toes go along with the old Roman Empire, it's all talking about the same thing, biblically, they are incorrect. They're incorrect. That has not happened yet. It has never happened in history yet. Some might say the Roman Empire is gone. There is no Roman Empire today. We don't have it today. We don't have the Romans. The Romans are not ruling over us today. It's gone. But, and I'm just going to read something here from John MacArthur. This is just going to be a quote from him. And I'm using him as part of the studies on this lesson. And but just bear with me as I read here. John MacArthur stated, quote, "Are you saying the Roman Empire just faded away to come back again? That's exactly what I'm saying. In fact, in Revelation, the Bible tells us that a beast, in chapter 13:3, that's a different reference to it, that a beast, in chapter 13:3, came and was wounded and went into death, but he rose again of that death. I believe that's a picture of Rome dying, as it were, only to rise again. And in its final form, it will be 10 nations. You're shocked by that? You haven't been reading about the common market. And once that 10-nation confederacy takes its form and the Antichrist establishes his rule doesn't last very long." All right, let's go ahead and look at Revelation 13:3. I'm not going to flip to that because you guys are probably, you get there before I do. So, and it's talking about this, being wounded and coming back alive again. Who would read Revelation 13:3 for us? Okay, Charlotte? Okay. It died, and yet it wounded, looked like unto death, but yet it comes back alive again. It is a reference to the future Roman Empire. Okay. And again, we're skimming the surface here, folks. We're going to go into detail. This thing is going to it's going to come alive. Going to come alive. Let's go ahead and move on to verse 44. "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Anybody have any idea what that's referring to? Any guesses? Okay. It's talking about the Christ is eventually going to come. He's going to conquer all these nations. He is going to set up a kingdom, which is going to begin with the millennial kingdom, a 1,000-year reign. And then after that, he's going to, we're just going to be in heaven. He's going to rule forever. Forever. Okay, that's that stone cut without hands that smashes the feet and destroys. And all these, this statue refers to all these Gentile powers, these world rulers. It's going to destroy them all, and God's going to set up his own kingdom. It's going to last forever. So that's what God is showing King Nebuchadnezzar. He says it here. He's going to, and we're going to see that again in the verse here. He's going to let you see what's going to come to pass hereafter. So, it says, "And in the days," at the beginning of verse 44, "and in the days of those kings," what kings? What kings is this talking about? It's talking about in the days of those 10 kings ruling the future Roman Confederacy. The stone smashes the feet. The 10 toes. This whole thing crumbles and decays. Anyway, it's smashed. The Gentile world rule is over when that this takes place. The last part of the revived Roman Empire, iron and clay, will be present at the time God sets up his kingdom rule. Folks, we don't have that today. They're not ruling us today. And Anyway, Daniel speaks of the overthrow of all earthly kingdoms, including the revived Roman Empire in the end times. It's going to happen in the end. And if you remember, Nebuchadnezzar, he witnessed a rock smashing the image in verse 34 of this chapter. So the term rock is often used in reference to the divine Messiah. And I have some verses here. I'm just going to call out, there's four verses here to look up, and just have different people look up the verse and just read it to all of us. Who would look up Psalm 118, verse 22? Delbert? Okay, who would look up Isaiah 8:14? John? Who would look up Isaiah 28:16? Lori? And 1 Peter 2:6-8. Who would look that up? There, Gary? Okay. So these are references to Christ being a rock. And again, it's talking about this stone, this rock that smashes the image. Okay. But these are just references to Christ being a stone. Okay, Psalm 118:22. All right, we know that's referring to Christ. Isaiah 8:14.
And he shall be for a sanctuary, for a stone of stumbling, for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem.
Okay. Isaiah 28:16. Okay, and again, it's a reference to Christ being a stone. 1 Peter 2:6-8. Okay, thank you, Gary. Okay, again, a reference to Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. He is the stone, and that is Christ. And folks, at the end, when Christ comes back to set up his earthly kingdom, he's going to smash. We're talking about the Battle of Armageddon. We're going to study more about that in the future. There's a lot of good stuff coming here in the future in this study. Anyway, it's referring to Christ. Christ is going to come back. He's going to smash this thing and then set up his own kingdom. It will last forever. And notice in verse 14 it says, shall the God of heaven, the singular one God. Daniel's telling Nebuchadnezzar there is only one God, not your multitude of false gods. They had gods of everything. And we're going to find out Nebuchadnezzar, even though he praises the name of God here in just a few verses, he simply just adds God onto the list of all the other gods. Says your God is greater, but he doesn't acknowledge him as the one true God. And folks, there's only one God. Any other God is false. Singular God, not plural, not many gods as the Babylonians believed in. And it says in that verse, his kingdom shall never be destroyed. When Christ sets up his kingdom, folks, it'll never be destroyed. This kingdom shall not be left to any other people, it says in the middle of that verse. Will not be left. There is not going to be another Gentile world. There's not going to be any other kind of a ruler, an empire, anything come after. Christ is going to rule forever, for all of eternity. That's the end of the Gentile thing when that stone smashes the image and destroys all those kingdoms. Daniel is making it clear that the one true God of heaven is far stronger and superior to all the so-called gods of Babylonians. The problem is, Nebuchadnezzar didn't get it. He doesn't get it. Christ will not only overthrow earthly kingdoms, but will, following the second coming, set up his own millennial kingdom that will last 1,000 years on the earth. More to come about that. Following the millennial kingdom, Christ will continue his reign forever and ever. And I have a verse here. It's Revelation 11:15. Let's don't turn there. Let's keep moving. I think we all pretty well understand that. I would assume we do. But anyway, it says it's going to last forever and ever. God will set up his own kingdom that will not end. Now, there's some disagreement among scholars as to when this begins, when Christ sets up his rule. Some disagreement when Christ sets up his kingdom. Some say it has already begun. And I know of a guy that and he'll fight tooth and toenail for that thought. It's already begun, you know. They say that it began with the beginning of the church. When the church started, that was when Christ was setting up his kingdom on earth. Others say, they disagree with that thought, others say that it's going to be future. When this takes place, when Christ sets up his kingdom. And reasons for disagreeing with the first view. Folks, I think biblically we can disagree with the first view. This has not happened yet. Christ has not set up his kingdom on earth with the beginning of the church. Disagree with that. And I'm trying not to put my view in it, but I mean it's biblically, that can be disproven. Reasons for disagreeing with the first view. The beginning of the church did not decimate the Roman Empire. Number one, it didn't decimate. The Romans were going good. They were strong. They were ruling at that time and continued to rule to 1453 AD. The Roman Empire was not destroyed. When this stone hits that thing, this whole thing is destroyed. It is wiped out and God sets up his kingdom forever. That's Bible. So, when the church began, the Roman Empire was going strong. I just said that. I get ahead of myself. I get excited and I get ahead of my notes. It will end when Christ returns. It has to be the form of the Fourth Roman Empire because it has got to be a 10-nation empire. Folks, when the church began, there wasn't a 10-nation empire. It was one, the Roman Empire, not a 10-nation. So reasons to disagree. It has to be a revived Roman Empire, a future Roman Empire. It's not happening now. It's in the process, I believe, but it hadn't happened yet. This has not happened yet. What do we see forming today? You know, what's going on today? With this European common market, 10-nation market. When Christ comes back, it's going to be 10 nations, folks. I mean, it can vary up and down, it can die in 10, 20, whatever they're going to do, human history. But when Christ returns, it'll be 10. We can mark it down. That's the Bible. We see today, we see military union, but a lot of division over there. And Luke 21:24, Jesus saying, talk about the time of the Gentiles. The time of the Gentiles is going to rule till when Christ, I forget the quote of that, but anyway, that has been and is being fulfilled today. We're living in that time today. And we are now ready to begin verse 45, and that clock is my biggest enemy. I'm just starting to get wound up and we got to stop. So, any questions or comments? Okay, why don't we close the word of prayer? Thanks for listening, folks. This is, to me, it's exciting. I'm loving it. And we're going to get a lot more detail in the future. We're going to be going across this same thing again, but it's going to fill in a lot of blanks that we might have in our minds right now. It's going to fill them in. So let's close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for prophecy in your word, Lord, that we can see how these things that you prophesied 600 years before Christ, Lord, we can see how they have been fulfilled to the letter. And Lord, we can just trust that what's yet to come is going to be fulfilled to the letter. We're thankful for prophecy, Lord, and just it verifies the Bible. It lets us know, Lord, your word is true, it's alive. And Lord, anything you say that's going to happen in this Bible, Lord, is going to happen. And Father, we know that one of these days, there's going to be a judgment, Lord. You're coming back. And we're all going to stand before you and give an account. And Father, I just pray that that we all believe that and know that it's going to happen. And help us, Lord, to be living lives that are in obedience to you, Lord, and to where we can maybe hear that, well done, now good and faithful servant. And Lord, I just pray that there's nobody in this class this morning that's going to hear, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." Father, we know that day's coming, and help us to be aware of it, Lord. We just pray now that you'll be with Pastor as he brings the morning message. Open our hearts for that. And Father, again, we're thankful for the freedom that we have to come and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.